Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for coming on. I'm very, very, very excited to have Miss Kay back on again. I'm so glad she came on. A lot of people, after they hear me speak with my old redneck lingo, they said, oh, that guy, he ain't got no education. We can't go back and talk to him no more. But anyway, Miss Kay has more than one fan, I'm sure, but we got a letter from a fellow. And he calls it the People's Republic of Baltimore. His name is Steve. He's written in before. And he's a hardcore Catholic, you know. And I said, well, like I told people, my grandfather was Baptist, but I don't hold that against him too much anyway. But anyway, he says, and my wife was a recovering Catholic. But so anyway, Steve, I feel like I know this guy, Steve. He sent a little donation. And he also sent this letter. I won't read the whole thing. But he says, hi, Eddie. Been a while, but delays don't always mean denials. The lady Saturday passed on communism was so, he's got four zeros here, four, was so good. He goes on to say, amidst so much talk of Putin in the Orthodox Russian Church, he talks about, and Catholics too, he's a Catholic, he said that the church has been infiltrated, and he talks about this book, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, which I did read. I need to go back and reread it, but we talked about that last week. So you really set him on fire, Miss Kay. You really did. So you have fans already, man.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks, Eddie, and thanks, Steve. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, you're tuning in. Keep tuning into the radio. We need more people to be strengthening this community. It's fantastic.
Yes, we do. It's well spoken. You know, we covered a lot of ground last time, Miss Kay. Would you like to go back and maybe recap some of the stuff you talked about? Because we have people that don't listen all the time, and we have new people coming and going. Would you like to do a little recap? This hour is dedicated solely to you. I'll have a few questions in the end if we have time. You started pretty much back in 1919 when your paternal and maternal grandparents escaped from Russia over into China. But if we have time, we'll fast forward in today, 2024, and to kind of ask you some of the questions that my friend Simon Roach in South Africa said. All these signs and symptoms he saw in South Africa, he came over in 2017 and rode to Charlottesville, Virginia with him. That was my first job as a field reporter for Liberty News Radio. And he said all the signs he saw in South Africa about when the communists first came in, he saw them here in the United States, Miss Kay. And I'm getting ready to end this. Yeah. He said now, though, he told us how horrible it was in South Africa. He said not long ago, hadn't been a month ago, he said the United States now is in worse shape than South Africa. He said we have leapfrogged South Africa. And I need to talk some more to him because I have a friend going over there to do some big game hunting in December to see, he'll see Simon. But anyway, I'd like to get to that later on. But before we do that, if it's your show, and I'm so glad to have you on, would you like to go back and recap the past a little bit for our audience, for our new people coming on?
Oh, you bet. And I'm looking forward to getting to the future now, too, because before I go back to the past, I'll just mention that a lot of the problems that we see, like your friend from South Africa, a lot of the problems that we're seeing around us now in society and in our communities and in the government and things like that, a lot of it, I would say a good majority of it, goes back to the problem of communism. And we might say, but that's just like, we don't have communism now. That was the Bolshevik time. That was the Cultural Revolution in China. That was the Berlin Wall. All of that's gone. That's not true. It's changed. It's still here. So the ideology we call it an ideology because we don't really see it. They don't murder, communists these days don't murder people in broad daylight in the way that they did in my great-grandparents' time and in my father's time. So my great-grandparents, they escaped Russia. Both my maternal and paternal side escaped Russia during when the they call them the Red Russians, the Soviets came in, the Bolsheviks, funded by Wall Street here and from other world bankers. So then they were getting money from everywhere, but there was the people on the ground, the Red Russians. They came in and they were attacking what they were called the White Russians, who were people who didn't want communism. But people didn't really know what communism was back then. It was just that if you owned your property, you owned some land, or you owned a business, or you were a believer, or you had religion, you were going to be dead. That's basically what communism meant to them back then, because they were killing people in broad daylight. They were massacring, torturing, hanging bodies in the trees. And then in China, my family escaped to China because at that time, China was not under communism. They had problems, of course, like any nation, but they didn't have communism yet. And then my dad was born in China. My mother's family left China earlier to go to Australia. And so they didn't see communism as much there. But my dad was born and raised in China. And then when the communists took over, he suffered there with his family. And eventually they were able to escape because they were Christians. They were Orthodox believers from Russia. They wanted to maintain their faith. They didn't want to be atheists. So they had to escape to survive. There was a famine going on that killed 45 million people. And my dad was lucky to survive that and or escape during that time. So he survived. So that's a little bit of my family history on my side. But my husband's family also escaped communism in the former Czechoslovakia. They weren't religious believers. They were atheists. But there was political issues. They didn't want to follow the communist rules. They were good people. They didn't want to hurt people. They didn't want to be controlled. And they were forced to leave. Otherwise, they would have ended up in prison. So this is, you know, back then, communism meant tanks. It meant bodies hanging in the trees. It meant, you know, big piles of bodies. Now it's different. It's not like that now. It's hidden. The communists have learned that they cannot do it in broad daylight. I spent a day in a Chinese prison because I held a banner on Tiananmen Square. I was arrested for holding the word compassion. Compassion in broad daylight. I broke no law, yet I was beaten and forced into a Chinese prison cell, a basement cell. So I saw firsthand. But then they used propaganda to kind of hide it and pretend that it didn't happen so that the Chinese people wouldn't see that there were people actually standing up for their rights, because they're not taught about human rights in China. They don't even know that term exists. It's very different from here. So communism has changed over the last 100 years, but it hasn't disappeared. And so many of the social problems we see now around us, what's going on with schools, what's going on with the economy, what's going on, education, food problems, environmental problems, so many of those issues have their roots in communism and atheism. And you can trace that back. So that's what a lot of my work does. I've got movies and I've got books out. My website is K Rubacek. That's my name, KayRubacek. And that's where I tell stories about survivors of communism, including me and my family, but also lots of other people. And that's a bit of a summary, I think, of what we talked about last week, Eddie.
Yes, ma'am. You know, since you were in Australia, Were you there during the height of the COVID scare, Kay, in Australia?
I wasn't, because I moved with my family to America. I live in New York now, and I moved 15 years ago, but still have family in Australia. So Australia was a very scary place during COVID.
That's what I was going to get to. To your knowledge, I'm sure that you've communicated with your family living in Australia. Some of the horror stories I've heard, I'll ask you if it's true, that there was forced vaccinations, of course. That's like that in a lot right here in the United States. But one of the scariest things I've heard, if it's true, the people were kind of like limited to 3 to 5 kilometers, however you want to say it, within their house. If they got beyond a certain distance. In other words, their credit cards, the ability to purchase, like you know, the activities of daily living, you have to have a food and water and you know, gasoline, et cetera, was limited to 3 to 5 kilometers. And if you exceeded that distance, your credit cards would not work. Was it that draconian, or do you know? Was that exaggerated? Did I hear that? Was that true or not?
Each state has different technology systems in place. In each city, that not all cities have that much technology to be able to do that. There's a few cities in Australia that do have that type of technology, and I have heard that happening in a couple of places, but it wasn't everywhere. Australia isn't set up like China yet, but yes, there was ma'am. A lot of police were even breaking windows and pulling people out of cars.
We have to go to a quick break. We have to go to our first break. Sorry to interrupt you, but we'll be right back. Can't wait to get back to you.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
You're a Blood River Radio family. I'd like to say again, all the people we named on the first of the year, first hour, thank you so much for keeping us on the air with your sacrificial donations. There would be no Blood River Radio without that. Takes time, takes money to do something. It's incredible how much time it takes to do a little broadcast like this. But anyway, we're going to go right back to a lady who has really captured the hearts of our audience and really, really stole my heart, too. She's a great, great, brave, intelligent lady, Miss Kay Rubicek. Go ahead, Miss Kay. Continue on where you were before we had to go to that first break, please.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, we were talking about Australia, and it's interesting because I was born and raised in Australia to Russian parents who had escaped communism from two countries, first Russia and then China. But they didn't talk about communism when we came to when I was growing up. My grandma did a little bit. She always warned me of the dangers of atheism, and she put the two together. Atheism and communism to her was the same thing. And so she warned me a little bit, but my parents didn't really talk about it much. And I realized that it's because they found freedom. And a lot of people, once they find freedom, they get comfortable. And they also want to forget. They want to forget the problems because they want communism to be very far away. And they want it to stay far away, and they never expected it to come so close that it would be back in their home country. But one of the reasons why I'm in America, because people say, why are you here? Australia's a great place. Australia is a great place. But America is the last, it's the last place on earth that can survive communism. If America falls, there is nowhere else to run. Australia will not exist, certainly not as it is. So everyone is looking to America and the American people and saying, what are you going to do? And so many people, Americans, said to me, what happened during COVID? Why did the Aussies, they saw stories like you were talking about of police smashing car windows and pulling drivers out through the windows. This was in one city in particular. It was very brutal because they were not complying with the perimeters where they were trying to leave the city. I had a friend pass away during COVID, and which was devastating. And my colleague, she was a work colleague, my colleagues wanted to go to her funeral, and they were not allowed to attend because it was limited to like a whole life of a person, and they wouldn't allow a funeral. So there were so many crazy things. And the Americans said to me, my American friend said, why? We thought you Aussies were tough. We thought you were like Crocodile Dundee and you were, you know, brave and strong. And I said, well, remember, they took away our guns. We gave our guns back. And so there is nothing left to protect the Australian people from any corruption in the government and any totalitarianism. And Australia's got very close to China, which is a totalitarian state. So, you know, we have a protection here, and the communists know that. So everyone in the world, I can say from my experience and studies, is that everyone in the world is looking to America as the last stand.
I hope we don't let them down. Yours truly will fight to my last breath. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Rand Owens today, I've got a lot of guns. I'll say that right now. I probably should. I'm sure that the intelligence apparatus, intelligence network knows about it. But I told Rand, I would like to get me an M14. I tried back in another lifetime ago. I trained at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Had an M14. I didn't think too highly of the 308 cartridge until I went to Fort Polk, and you got this 20-round clip, semi-automatic. It can switch to full automatic. And I know this is kind of off topic a little bit, but that's typical for me. I could take that 308, the M14, and you would not believe what I could do with it. I mean, I'm knocking these targets down 450, 500 meters is child's play. But I would love to have one of those suckers for these communists. I hope I live for the revolution. Hope I survive to fight that revolution. But I get off about that rabbit trail I'm always going down. Miss Kay, you just talked about something terrible about this certain city in Australia where the police were actually smashing the windows out of automobiles and dragging people out of their cars. The governor, I think Minnesota, the fellow who's been tapped for the vice president under Kamala Harris, what they won't let people know is when he was the governor of Minnesota, he unleashed the National Guard in the police state, marching down streets inside this beautiful city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they're screaming. I saw the videos. Screaming to the people sitting on their porch outside their own yards, get in the house, get indoors, get in now. And if they've delayed any second, any time at all, they will say, light them up. And they were shooting these people with paintball guns. And I've talked to several people. I've never been shot with a paintball gun, but it hurts. And this is the same joker that's going to be vice president under Kamala Harris if he gets elected. What they did there in that city with the brutal lockdowns, and the same thing, the brutal lockdowns in Australia where they're smashing car windows. What is the ultimate, what is their end game for these lockdowns? Is this some kind of training? What's the purpose of that, Ms. Kay, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think it works on a lot of different levels. So you kind of have to take a step back and take a look at it. The police on the ground, in my opinion, they're following orders. And sometimes they're not thinking. They're under a lot of pressure. And they have to get fired up because they're just being told, they're given a really narrow view of what's going on. And so maybe they're just told, this guy's a bad guy, you have to do this. So they go and do it, and they think they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing their jobs. So, and maybe later they step back and they realize maybe it's not the case, but they're doing their job. And then there's the people who are directing the police.
Yes.
You know, there's this term called useful idiots.
Yes,
the communists coined in Russia. And they call these smart people that are duped by communism, they call them useful idiots. Think about that term, right? They call them idiots, but actually they're really smart people. On paper, they're smart. They've probably got 2 or 3 degrees, and they're sitting in their suits, and maybe they're all in Washington, D.C. or something like that. And it's the people, the communist leadership, because then there's the next level up. There's the strategists. The strategists and the people who then connect with the money people, they're the ones pulling the strings behind the puppets that we see on the news media, or we see doing the politics, and that they're puppets. There's people behind them that pay the money and manipulate them and have the bribes and everything and blackmail to keep them on the strings. So, but they see these puppets as useful idiots. And even though they look very intelligent and they look like they're living a high lifestyle with high income and everything, it's a pretty pitiful life. And what happens with the communists in every country that they've taken over is those are the first people to go. They get, once they're not useful anymore, they're useful until they're not, and then they're gone. That's it. So, you know, we might be worried about ourselves and thinking they're going to come for us and they're going to, you know, attack us first. But the first people they go for are the ones who think they're really smart. But they're probably not very wise, and they're probably not very kind, and they're willing to sell you and me out because they don't believe in God. They don't believe that there's punishment for doing evil and that there's reward for doing good. So they just think they can get some money. They can make some money. Then they get blackmailed. They get pulled into, they promise the world, but then they get pulled into a very dark world, and it's hard for them to get out. So they become puppets on the string, and they're the first ones to be played with and gotten rid of. So, you know, that's how I see it. There's, you know, there's the police, and there's the people who we see at the, you know, on the television, but then there's the people behind that we don't see. They're the strategists, and I talk about them in my latest book, because they're the ones that I think we need to understand. And it's really hard, especially for Americans, I think, to understand, because Americans are kind. Oh, I love living in America. I love American people. You're all like fantastic. And when I've interviewed communists who have been the perpetrators of torture, they said to me, because they thought I was American, they said, "You will never understand us because you don't understand evil. You are too kind." And in a way, they're right, because it's very hard to accept or understand that there are people in power, even the ones we may have voted in, that actually want to harm us and our children and our families and do what really is evil stuff. It's really hard to accept that that could be true, because we don't want to believe it, because we don't want to think bad about anybody. But we have to wake up, and we have to realize that these things do exist, and then we can do something about it. But if we just try to ignore it, then one day they'll come for us. That's what always happens.
I'll tell you what, you've unloaded a lot of stuff there. I'm telling you, I was just thinking, a return to a question. I believe probably the reason the higher-ups, the people giving the orders, making the useful idiots, making them do their thing, and then making the ground police, busting the windows out, I think the reason the reason they're going for this lockdown is to keep people pinned down, is to get them, get people. It's like a training mission for when the final satin comes off the glove. And I can't believe we got to go to another break already. I was going to ask you a question when we come back. Be right back, folks. Going to go back to Miss Kay Rubicek as soon as we come back to this break. It's a long break, so you can get some water, whatever. It's going to take about 4 or 5 minutes.
We'll be right back. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
TikTok has pushed back on arguments the popular social media platform is not shielded by the First Amendment.
The U.S. Justice Department had said in a legal brief submitted last month that TikTok's owner, China-based ByteDance, as well as the platform's global and U.S. arms, were not entitled to First Amendment protections. TikTok attorneys argue the platform's U.S. arm doesn't forfeit its constitutional rights because it is owned by a foreign entity. They drew a parallel between TikTok and well-known news outlets such as Politico and Business Insider, which are owned by a German publisher.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Humanitarian crisis in eastern Congo contributing to Mpox outbreaks there and elsewhere in Africa that have been deemed a global health emergency by the World Health Organization. Congo has recorded more than 96% of the world's monkeypox cases. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, hoping to come up with the answers, federal health officials have now deployed a massive trailer to parts of the Deep South, where researchers are testing the heart and lung functions of some 5,000 people. More from correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Studies have shown rural populations in the U.S. are unhealthier and have lower life expectancy than Americans in urban areas. So public health officials are using a 52-foot-long trailer filled with instruments to examine calcium in the arteries, the structure of the heart, lung capacity, and other indicators to analyze what's going on. They'll be checking people in Alabama, Kentucky, Louisiana and Mississippi, where poverty and smoking rates are high, while access to good health care and nutrition is limited. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
The Innis is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I am, pardon me if I get the talking machine because I'm so excited. I always get so excited when we get these great guests on. But earlier, Miss Case said that her grandmother said that I think atheism, communism, and or Satanism was all the same thing. And Miss Kay just kind of backed it up by saying, speaking to people who came up under communism, that people in America can't really know true evil because they have not lived under it. That's why they can't understand. They hadn't experienced that. I'd like to rephrase it that a little bit. And I'd like to also, I was telling Miss Kay during the break, or lady, first hour, people that are listening will remember Amy from first hour. She went into the Battle of Charlottesville, and when things were quieting down, when the so-called alt-right, like our people, had been driven out by the police and the National Guard, the state troopers, and the Antifa, but just the BLM and the Antifa, and God only knows what else was there, she said she could actually feel an evil entity. She wanted to go into Lee Park, Miss Kay, and experience what her husband had experienced, but she gave up. She said no, she had to get out of there because she felt this evil entity. And she said that the people were just like, I'll put words in her mouth, they were like on steroids, on adrenaline, because she said that these people were actually, she said she knew, any Christian would know pretty much, that they were getting their power, getting their directions, what they were doing from Satan. With that, I'd like to make that statement to Miss Casey, if she'd like to respond to that. And if it's not too much, asking too much one time, are we going to return? I was listening to a podcast the other day, Miss Kay. I got to make this quick. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they said that looks like Trump's getting ready to go to prison. And I thought he was already clear. It's going to open up the gates for Kamala Harris to come in. And they said she is so Marxist, hardcore communist. They said it'd make you look, Karl Marx looked like a Rockefeller Republican. Miss Kay, which is what I said, with this atheism, communism, this evil, these evil entities guiding these people. I'll say, what do you think about that? And if you have time, I think these people are fully capable of taking us back to the gulags under Alexander Solzhenitsyn's day in the 1920s and the Holodomor. Take off on that. Maybe I unloaded too much at one time. I guess you could just talk about what your grandmother said, then I'll ask you about these mass murders. And any way you'd like to go, Ms. Kay. Hope I didn't go too long. Go ahead, Ms. Kay.
I love these topics, Eddie. This is right up my alley. I love talking about this stuff, and I'm glad your listeners enjoy this too, because I think we need to be able to talk about these things from all the angles that you're coming at it. Because, you know, the term evil is, it's these days, it's kind of hard to quantify. People say, well, that just doesn't, it's not scientific. How do you measure evil? How do you measure morality? How do you measure virtue and courage and strength? Like, those things are kind of very intangible. And so we've been pushed so hard into this scientific mindset and pushed away from atheism. I've got nothing against science. Science does amazing things for us. But when the communists took over Russia, they used science as an excuse to kill people. They used atheism as an excuse to kill people, to dehumanize them, to brutalize them, to torture them, to call them anything, make up complete lies about them. That's what it does when you follow atheism. And because you start to devalue human life. If you really believe what America was founded on, one nation under God, and that all men are created equal, men and women, we say now these days, you know, I think it's a given, you know, we're all created equal under God, then you wouldn't treat someone especially if you follow the Bible or other, you know, similar religions, you wouldn't treat someone how you wouldn't want to be treated. You wouldn't kill somebody because you don't want to be killed. You don't torture somebody because you don't want to be tortured. You know what? It's not nice. It's not kind. It's hurtful. But for an atheist, they start to make excuses and justify killing, lying, cheating, stealing. So once you start to break that ground and then you start to use science as an excuse to say, well, we can't measure evil. Evil doesn't really exist. It's just a concept. So they use theory and intellectuals to say that these things don't really exist. They call it a construct instead of, well, it's really real. So
yes.
We in schools, we don't talk about what is evil. And for communism, you know, growing up in schools, I learned about the evils of Nazism. They did say evil. And I saw the piles of dead bodies from Auschwitz and other concentration camps. But for communism, never. We are not taught the evils of communism. Why? Because there's never been trials. There's never been Nuremberg trials for communism. Why? Because they're still in power. So that the mass murders are still in power. Look at Mao Zedong in China. And the Chinese Communist Party killed more than 80 million people. In Russia, more than 60 million people. The death toll, there is nothing in our human history has killed more people than communism. Think about that. Nothing has killed more people in our human history than communism. And it is evil because it doesn't just kill, it starves and it lies and it cheats and it steals. So I don't put anything beyond people who follow communism, people who believe that they are God. So, yeah, bring back to current times, anyone in politics, someone said this to me a long time ago, anyone in politics has to compromise to get to that level of power.
Yes.
Unless they're coming in with their own big pocketbook, like someone like Trump. He shook everything up. He was a completely different player. But before him, everyone else had to compromise to some extent because there was always someone paying the bills. And those are the people that were unelected and that we don't see. So whenever we're looking at elections and who's in power, it's really important to look at who pays the bill. Where is the money coming from? I always say follow the money. And that's when you start to see what the values are of those people. Are they atheists? Do they want to kill Americans and destroy the economy and carry out global depopulation? Well, that's pretty evil to me. The crimes that have been done, I've done a lot of movies and books on the crimes of communism in China because the Chinese Communist Party is the biggest communist party in the world. It holds a lot of power globally. It's controlling a lot of our economy here through a lot of different ties and connections. And the crimes that they are carrying out today, as we speak, are so brutal that they even kill innocent prisoners of conscience in prisons and sell their organs. And these people often don't have anesthetic. This is from firsthand account. Mm. I'm sorry for people who are eating dinner. I'm just giving you an example of pure evil. This is pure evil. And if we don't learn from what they're doing over there, then that can continue to spread. So the U.S. government is trying to stop that now, finally, but it's taken them 20 years. But that's just an example of modern-day crimes of communism right now.
You know, well, you've noted a lot again. That is great. With that in mind, now, I was asking you during the break, I've heard this fellow on the podcast that I listen to sometimes, and our co-host, Rand, listens to him all the time. And I heard it on another podcast, too, to back them up, saying something like Kamala Harris is so ultra-leftist, so ultra-communist that makes the I know they were exaggerating oversimplification, saying that she makes Karl Marx look like a Rockefeller Republican. And so being a communist, by the very definition, the woman has to be evil. If we're going to go, you know, if we're going to stay consistent in our definitions and in our rhetoric. So with that in mind, when the people, when she takes over, and they get all the apparatuses locked down, I think they're almost there now. The military is pretty much under control. It was under this General Milley, who I believe he's resigned now. The Defense Secretary, Austin, these people are all hardcore LGBT, transvestite, worshiping almost. They're evil. They lean toward communism. And they also have a majority of the police departments. Will, when we come back, I'll ask you, answer this question. If we don't buckle down and do what they want to, the holdouts like Blood River Radio, are we going to go back to the 1930s concentration camps? We can answer that question when we come back, Ms. Kay. Be right back, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so, so much for hanging out. We're going down. I can't. This time is flying. I asked Ms. Kay a question before we went to the break. Now I'll go ahead and I'll repeat it for me because, you know, I might forget it more than anybody else. I was telling Ms. Kay that from sources I've heard talking, they're talking about how radical, how communist, how just evil. How the Marxists, I said that this lady, Kamala Harris, will make Karl Marx look like a Rockefeller Republican. He's that extreme. She's done the most incredible extremes in California, where she was like the chief prosecutor out there. So I was asking Ms. Kay, when she gets in and gets her full apparatus in place, when she gets the heads of her military, the high-up officers, maybe the chief of staff, the chief of the joint chairmen, if she gets maybe the commandant of the Marine Corps, if she gets control of the Justice Department, the governors, et cetera, what this apparatus looks like to me, it's almost in place. Well, my question was to Ms. Kay. People like Blood River Radio, people like some of the people I know, a few left from the League of the South that didn't run after Charlottesville, and we refused to conform. Are we going to go back to the 1930s in the Gulag system where we worked to death and executed? Will they finally come back? Ms. Kay, you said nowadays the communists don't operate in broad daylight. With their brutal methods. But once they have a complete, total control, will they no longer have to worry about what the rest of the sheeple, the rest of the people think? They can go ahead and take their mask off and show the people that they are really Satan incarnate with no retribution from the army, from the police. Is that coming? Did I go too long there? Is that going to return if for people that don't, that refuse to go along, Ms. Kay?
Well, I can't see the future, and I don't even know if Kamala Harris is going to be elected. We'll see. I mean, her numbers in the polls have been dismal, but now they're suddenly changing. And that's because it's not about the person, really, is it? When you think about it, it's the people behind the person. There's these puppets that are following their orders because they're staying in power. And how did they get to there? If you look at Ms. Harris, she has a shady track record for sure. For how she was able to get what she's done in California as a prosecutor, and her record there is really questionable when you look at how she treats people. And so I think when you look at that, when people are willing to compromise their values, then they're willing to follow along with people who really are pulling the strings and do want to do evil things. So then people like these puppet politicians become the useful idiots that we talked about earlier, where once they're not needed anymore, they're disappeared. They won't be there. And for us, I think, for us that don't want to compromise our values, you know what? I really don't think we're going to have the same. The technology's changed. They've got so many ways. They can shut off internet. They can shut off. Those things can actually hurt people even more because people are so addicted to the internet and things like that. Turning off people's electric cars and that sort of thing is going to scare a lot of people because they don't know the difficulties of life back in the 1930s. So it's a different world now. But it's people like us who don't conform. When you say we don't conform, what do we not conform to? I'm not willing to compromise my values for evil, and I'm just not willing to. That's why I landed in a Chinese prison, but I survived, and I can tell the story, and I can tell my kids, and they can tell their kids. So I'm going to survive as long as I can, and I'm not willing to compromise. And because I just know that there is a higher power than evil. And so in the end, I won't sell out for evil. Because once you do, you become like these useful idiots that just have no values. They'll just do whatever the puppeteers will pay them to do. And it's an awful life. But if you can have a clear conscience and just maintain your values, then it doesn't matter what happens. You'll get through it. You'll be fine. What's the world going to look like? I have no idea. It's going to change. It's definitely going to change. But I think those of us who look up beyond the evil and we know that there's someone greater in control, then we have nothing to fear. But we have to keep that perspective in mind because they want us to be afraid. They want us to be angry. They want us to be full of hate because then they can control us. But when we're calm and we look to God and we know that there's a higher power, they can do nothing to us. So I think we should not be afraid. We should be strong, and we should strengthen our communities and our families, bring everyone together and tell them to remain calm, and we can get through anything.
I think, in a way, one of my heroes and yours too, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I keep using his name because he was such a great man. I believe he said something only in a little different way, a different twist than you said, because he talked about the people, the greatest, he was in the concentration camps. He talked about the people that survived it. But he said the greatest of the heroes was the ones that they never let out of the concentration camps, because they never buckled. They never gave in, no matter how much torture they had to go through, no matter the beatings, the cold, the starvation. They would never give an inch. And so they died. He was talking about, I was inferred from what he said, that I grasped that he was talking about this inner power people get. And I'm a Christian, and this inner power, I guess it's possible to be so gutsy and have such a pit bull personality, you can get through stuff like that. But it seems to me like you would almost have to have the power. Well, the lack of a better word, I'm a Christian person. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say it. I think that's kind of like what you said. You keep your faith. You said that there is a higher power than evil. There is a higher power than Satan. I think that sums it up, what you said. I really do. And you know something else you said that struck my interest, because you see it in Midtown here in Memphis, Tennessee. In Midtown, Memphis, Tennessee is like communism, LGBT. It is the hotbed of communism here in Memphis. And you see signs, especially in front of their churches, and you see the signs in the front of the houses that says, science is real. And as soon as you said that these people claim to be scientific, and their scientific knowledge, these people being the people that are bosses of the useful idiots, and even some of the useful idiots, they're thinking that people believe in God, that, you know, if you want to follow a righteous, sexually pure life, a kind life, a Christian type of life, you are passé, you're obsolete. And they say, if you don't want to go along with this global warming stuff, and you don't want to limit the amount of coal we use, the amount of energy stuff, even though Red China is going full bore up here, they have no environmental restrictions whatsoever. They want to lock us down. And they use this excuse, Ms. K. Well, science is real. You see the signs all over Memphis. I know that as soon as you said that, the communists used that as an excuse to kill these people. That rung a bell. It really did.
It's become a religion. Yeah, science has become a religion for a lot of people. They say they're atheists or they're agnostic, whatever term they want to use. But if you really ask them, a lot of people take science as their religion. But there's so many holes in it. Science cannot explain the human cell. It cannot explain how that came to be. It cannot explain the miraculous workings of a single human eye, let alone a whole human being or the brain. It cannot explain how we exist. Whereas God can, religion can, science has come full circle. And that's a whole nother topic, but it's come full circle where so many scientists have come back around, and they are saying the evidence is pointing to a divine creator. There is more evidence for that Darwin's been disproven. So that's what I say to people who I love science. It's fascinating. It's interesting. I love learning about life and nature and all these things. Fantastic. But when you look at who created that, there's still someone created that too, and gave us the brain to be able to question and ask questions, and we need to ask questions. So yeah, I say people are taking that as a religion. So if they criticize us for Christianity or any other faith, I say look back to what is their religion, and it's likely science. They got to think bigger than that.
And I would like to ask them, what happened before the Big Bang? What happened before the thing that happened before the Big Bang? I mean, it's had to start somewhere. Miss K, we've run completely out of time. You have no idea how much I've enjoyed having you on. And we'll have to get back to you. I'd like to get you on again in the near future. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on. And keep Blood River Radio in your prayers. Keep me in your prayers that I will be able to get through that marathon in New York. And then I come back December 7th and run Memphis. I'm a little bit apprehensive about that. I don't mind asking people to pray for me, man. Anybody wants to pray for me, you're more than willing, and I would like you to do it. So thank you so much, Ms. K, for coming on. And thank you, Miss Lizzie and Jay, for running a flawless show. Thank you, Blood River Radio people. Thank you, Amy and Greg, for coming on the first hour. Good night, everybody.